The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here alongside my co-host and producer, Scott Eckersley. On the line with us right now, Dan Dickerson, Detroit Tigers radio play-by-play guy. Dan, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Good to be with you guys.
Well, believe it or not, we've been talking a little Miguel Cabrera this morning, and we just kind of wanted to get your thoughts. You know, we've been talking about what we think is the most concerning part about this situation. In your opinion, what concerns you most about this entire situation with Miguel Cabrera?
Well, I think that the focus has to be on Miguel, and I think that's what the Tigers are figuring out right now. What is the best thing for not just Miguel, the baseball player, but Miguel, the human being? And that's, and I think the thing, you know, there's been a lot of armchair psychiatry in this. I don't think anybody knows anything in terms of the, to me, I mean, what I understand when you're talking about dealing with a situation like this, it's very much about the individual. So the range of treatment or the range of solutions, I think, is quite varied. And I think that's what the Tigers are trying to figure out right now. It's very much up to the individual as well. So I just think making sure that he gets right, there clearly is some issue he has to deal with alcohol, and how they deal with it, I think, is the key. But, of course, it's disappointing that it's coming right at the start of spring training. I mean, it's terrible timing, but, you know, you're never going to time these things well. And clearly he has an issue that he needs to deal with, and I think the Tigers will find the best way. It may take a while to figure that out, but they'll do that.
Dan, it's Scott here. I'm wondering, you've talked to Miguel Cabrera more than almost anybody. What's he like on a personal level towards you?
I thought he was really kind of a changed guy this past year. I mean, I wouldn't say I know him well, but clearly, you know, I've gotten to know him a little bit through the years. But I really did, a different guy in 2010 than 2009. I just thought his demeanor in the clubhouse was much more open, friendly, engaging. I'll never forget the day when he came back after, remember, he missed two games in Seattle for the birth of his daughter. He came back, hit three home runs in his first game back. Saw him in the clubhouse the next day. The clubhouse was nearly empty. I think Brandon Ninja was talking about one of the home runs, I think it might have been the last, was just a bomb. And Miguel walked in just as Brandon was talking about it, and Miguel had a big smile on his face. He goes, "I killed that one, huh?" the look on his face, the timing was so perfect. And that was just something, at least I didn't see, very much the year before.
Dan, I want to talk to you more on policy with Major League Baseball in general. We're talking to Dan Dickerson, Detroit Tigers radio play-by-play here on Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS. And I just want to know, because, you know, to me it's kind of concerning that nobody is really taking a discipline standpoint in Major League Baseball towards things like that. Not to teach people a lesson, really, but more to help them. I mean, to kind of give them some reality of, hey, you can't drink and drive. Does it concern you that Major League Baseball doesn't take a role in discipline in things like this, or do you like that they stay out of this kind of stuff?
Well, I honestly don't know what exactly their role is. In terms of discipline, like a discipline for, say, a drug violation, I guess if that's what you're talking about.
I mean more along the lines of, like, for breaking the law, for DUIs.
Well, I think the stance would be more that if he broke the law, then the law handles that, and then baseball, if it feels the need, can add a punishment, you know, on top of that, not unlike the NFL did with Michael Vick.
Okay.
But, no, I think the idea is, I mean, you let the law take care of it, and there are certainly laws in place, and if he violated laws, then the law will take care of it, and the teams have to decide. But there are policies in place for substance abuse and alcohol abuse, and the Tigers will follow those. I will say that in the last few years of the HIPAA laws, a person's treatment and or health issues, there's a lot of privacy regarding those, and the teams really can't talk much about it. So we may not hear really what the Tigers have decided to do with Miguel because of privacy laws.
Okay.
That's one thing that we've been wondering, kind of what kind of a punishment would get through to him. In your opinion, what kind of punishment do you see him getting, and what kind of punishment would get to him?
I don't picture a punishment from the team's perspective. I think right now it's about helping him. But I think Dave Dombrowski's a pretty smart guy, and I think we'll probably never hear, but I think the message will get through. And the Tigers realize that, you know, this is a serious situation. It whatever needs to be done, believe me, the Tigers are very sharp, and they're headed by some people who are very smart and know that this is not something that can just be brushed aside. So we may not ever hear of exactly all the steps taken. I guarantee you we won't, but the Tigers will handle it, I think, in an appropriate way. I really believe that because this is a serious thing, and they know it, and it has to be dealt with.
Talking with Dan Dickerson, the radio play-by-play man for the Detroit Tigers. Dan, before all of this happened, what were you looking forward to most heading down to spring training?
Oh, there's so many things. I mean, that, you know, I just love the start of a season. For spring training, I like always thinking about what, you know, position battles are we going to see, what young guys might make an impression. What I usually think about pitchers first, I guess, because I think it's easier to judge what a pitcher has, the stuff he has, even though he's not always facing major league quality opposition. You can get a look at a guy's stuff, and that's fun. When you see a Jacob Turner, who we'll see against major leaguers, I'm sure, at times in games, and just watch his stuff and look at it and say, yeah, that can get major leaguers out. Because I think we're going to see Jacob Turner at some point this year, maybe only a couple of starts. But I don't know. My gut feeling is we're going to see him, kind of like we saw Justin Verlander in 05, maybe for a start or two if they need a spot starter. To look at a Charlie Furbush, who I think has a real chance to make the bullpen because he's got a deceptive delivery, a little funky lefty delivery. When you see a guy with that many strikeouts in the minor leagues at three different levels, that opens your eyes. Looking forward to seeing Andy Oliver right at the top of the list because I think he could really be a big part of this rotation this year. Every team needs more than five starters. And to me, Andy Oliver is right at the top of the list along with Jacob Turner. But just because he's a little older, I think Andy Oliver is very much going to be in the mix. And what I want to see from him is, has he developed his secondary pitches? Because that is a golden left arm. I'm looking forward to seeing Casey Crosby. I don't know how much we'll see him, but he remains, after two injury-shortened seasons, one of the top pitching prospects who throws in the mid-90s from the left side. So, I don't know, there's just a lot of things to look forward to. I think this team has a lot of pieces in place. I'm looking forward to seeing Phil Cope and just see his demeanor and, you know, how he adjusts. Does he look like a starter? It's a funny thing to say, but I think, you know, there's a certain mound demeanor that suggests, okay, you know, I'm not just the guy charging out of the bullpen to get three outs or two outs. I'm here to go five, six innings. It's a little bit different. He's done it in the past. I think he holds a real key to this season. So I'm looking forward to watching him and Brad Penny.
So when you look at this team now, I mean, we talked a little bit about rotation. We talked a little bit about the bullpen and stuff. What do you think is a strength of this team? What do you think they need to improve on by the time the season begins?
I think a real strength is the bullpen. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Joel Zamaya, I think, is going to he's going to stay healthy this year. Don't ask me why. My gut feeling is this is the year
he's got to do it one of those years.
That's
right?
A risky prediction,
Dan. I mean, he really does. And you pull for the guy just because I think he's just a really nice young man. And I look forward to that. If that's the case, it is one of the strongest bullpens, I think, in the Central. I would say the biggest question mark, people question the defense, and I think that is somewhat legitimate. I do think Peralta at short is better than people think. I watched him for a half a season at short. I think he made five errors. Terrific glove. Softer hands than I remembered at Cleveland. Makes all the plays you want him to make without great range. But as a pitcher, I think what you care about is that shortstop makes all the plays you expect him to make without kicking away the routine ground ball. And he didn't do that at all at shortstop. Second base is a bit of a question. I think that'll get sorted out. But defensively, I think there's a big question mark at second base, and that's not a small issue. I thought Will Rimes actually did quite well. I noticed Jim Leland's comment saying that he feels Rimes and Sizemore have to improve. Sizemore definitely has to improve, but I thought Rimes actually played pretty well, but Jim Leland's opinion matters more than mine. Then Carlos Guillen eventually. I would say the biggest question is probably the fourth and fifth starters, just because Coke's going from the bullpen to the rotation. He's done it before, so I think he will move into that slot. But until he shows he can, with durability, and I don't know what the number is. Is it 25 starts after you've been in the bullpen, you know, for 2 years, or can he make 30 starts like a T.J. Wilson did? And the fifth starter, Brad Penny, because, I mean, you just have to be strong in your rotation to win any division, especially I think the Central this year is ultra competitive. You know the Twins, even with all their bullpen losses, are going to be a good team. They just will be, because they win when they're missing people like Morneau and Nathan. They'll win missing people like Crane and Guerrero out of their bullpen. So I look at Penny and Coke as kind of holding the key, because I think they will score enough runs. I mean, to me, a simple formula is, you know, for fans, team has to score basically 100 runs more than their opposition to win 90 games. That's roughly, you know, the number. So to me, that means run prevention. They have to hold opponents under 700 runs to have a legitimate shot at 90 wins, and I think it will take 90 wins to win the Central.
We're talking with Dan Dickerson, play-by-play man for the Detroit Tigers here on the Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Dan, one thing that I don't think has been mentioned, what do you picture happening with the DH situation? Because you've got Victor Martinez, you've got Maglio. I don't think he can play every day in the field. Carlos Guillen, and I mean even Miguel Cabrera.
I think it'll be rotated. I really do. And I think that's actually something that Jim Leland likes, the flexibility I think he likes. Because you've got three guys, like you just mentioned, who can all be there. I think what that does is the days that Martinez catches, Maglio DHs, maybe that allows you to move Brennan Bosch into right field, because I think right now Ryan Rayburn's going to get the bulk of the at-bats in left. It gives you some flexibility, and I think Jim Leland will like that a lot.
Do you think Victor Martinez is going to spend more time as a catcher or a DH?
DH. I really believe that. And Alex Avila knows that he has to hit for that to be the case. I think he will hit. I'm not sure he'll hit for high average, but 250, 260 with some pop. And, you know, he was second best throwing out runners in the American League. You'll take that. Great.
Dan Dickerson, Detroit Tigers radio play-by-play guy. Dan, real quick before we let you go, you talked a couple of gut feelings you had. What is your gut feeling about this season for the Detroit Tigers? Where do they finish?
I got them right now kind of in the 88 win range, you know, give or take a win on either side. And I think that means that you're right there. That means a few breaks, you're into the 90s. A few things go the wrong way, you're into the 83, 84. But to me, if you're in the upper 80s at the start, and that's kind of the number I have in my head. I just haven't been able to move that one way or the other mentally. but that says that if Coke and Penny do what I think they can do, you can get up to in the low 90s relatively easily. I think there's a big difference between 88 and, you know, having them projected at 83, 84. I mean, you're talking 14 games over. You can easily jump to 18 to 20 games over. I think that's a big thing. They've been kind of stuck at the 0 to 10 games over 500 for the last 2 years. I think it's important you get 10 games above 500 and then go from there. And this team should do that. They need some breaks along the way. They need to stay healthy. But the team that should be in contention right to the end, you know, it's going to be a three-team race, and then you know one of those teams will drop off. I think the Tigers will be one of those two teams. It's a team that should compete, could definitely win the Central. Would I call for it? No. I think they have to show some things. They have to beat the Twins. But I definitely think they'll be there at the end.
I like that hunch. It supports my prediction a little bit more. Makes me sound a little bit smarter. So I appreciate that, Dan. Dan, we appreciate it. You have a good one, man. Enjoy the spring training.
All right, guys. Good talking with you.
All right. Dan Dickerson, Detroit Tigers radio play-by-play guy, joining us. We'll also talk with Kirtland Crawford from the Detroit Free Press at 10 o'clock. More a little bit Tigers baseball. We'll talk with him more about Gary Sheffield getting retired and things of that nature. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Toomer's Corner and what happened down in Auburn. Maybe make it equivalent to what could happen at Michigan State if somebody were to attack Sparty. It's coming up next. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.